Hello, everyone. It's time for another midweek miracle episode. And this week, my guest is Sarah Stewart. Sarah is a contemporary visionary artist and muralist based in North Carolina. She is self-taught, and her style is very intuitive and inspired by the magic of Gaia. And for those of you who don't know what or who Gaia is planet Earth, but a more fully realized, alive and dynamic and breathing, truly alive planet Earth. In this episode, it's so exciting. We do talk dragons, and Sarah brings up a dream in which she met Quetzalcoatl. And I just want to give a little blurb about who Quetzalcoatl is. Quetzalcoatl is a major deity in Mesoamerican religions, including Aztec, Maya, and Toltec, who worshipped him as the god of creation, wind, rain, learning, science, agriculture, crafts, and the arts. Phew, that is a lot of responsibility. Now, you may ask yourself, why do so many cultures from all over the planet have dragons in their mythology? And for those of you who are kind of in the real world and all sciency, which I admit I'm one of those, scientists have posited that humans were so terrified of snakes, right? And our very lizard brain, snakes have been terrifying since the beginning of time for us. And so snakes, you can evolve that to dragons. We have all these stories about feathered snakes, feathered dragons attacking us or being powerful or, you know, changing the world or doing things in the world that are just insanely amazing. And partially it's because we have this kind of love-hate relationship with snakes and have had that since the beginning of time. And that kind of makes sense to me. So Sarah shares a story about Quetzalcoatl in this episode that really is fabulous, and I can't wait to get to it. So I'll stop talking and say, here you go. Here's your very next episode of Bite-Sized Blessings.
If you watch the videos of the people who are experiencing the BUFO ceremony, DMT. They are sometimes passing out, sometimes freaking out, sometimes screaming. They lose themselves, and a lot of times they lose consciousness. And so I was watching all these videos, and I was like, hell no, I'm not doing this. I was terrified, but I was still going to go. But the closer that it got to the ceremony, I started to feel like this is warrior medicine.
Who are you as a human being? How would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, that was a stumper. Like, I had my daughter read the questions again to me, as we were driving, and I was like, we asked ourselves that, and we were like, we looked at each other, and we were like, I don't know. But as I've kind of like mulled over it, I would have to say I don't like to pinpoint things, but I would have to say I am a seeker. I am constantly asking myself that question. And for me right now, I think that's shifting. I feel like I might have been able to answer that with more clarity last year, but right now, I don't know. I'm in this liminal period. Obviously, I'm an artist. I'm a muralist. I love to paint, and that hasn't changed. But I think the expression of it is changing, and how I really want to make it happen for me is changing. But if I were to say what has kind of been a common theme throughout my life, it's the ability to create, no matter what it is. I love creating. I'm really good with my hands. It's like a must for me to create something every day or to be working on something. I would say I'm a spiritual person. I'm always asking larger questions. I'm really sensitive. I used to be really shy. I think I'm kind of moving past that and getting over it, which feels so liberating and so freeing. I really love nature. I think it's one of it's one of the things that inspires me most is being in nature, feeling my own part in it, healing from it. It's the focus of my work, is the energies of nature. And I could keep going and going, but I think maybe does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd love for you to talk about your tarot deck a little bit. What was the genesis? I do note that there's many, many, many flowers and, you know, just beautiful botanical illustrations in your deck. And, you know, creating a deck is not like, you don't just go out and do it one day. You know, you're creating a lot of art, but then you also have to kind of discern, and I would use the word channel, the messages behind all that art. So how did that come across, or how did that happen?
Yeah, it was kind of an organic process, actually. And I'll try to be really concise, but so I started 5 years ago. So I used to paint these murals, and I would paint very freestyle, you know, whatever was, you know, happening. I really loved to paint people. And then I went through a pretty traumatic postpartum period. And what saved my life, honestly, and what just completely turned me around was meeting with flower essences. And I won't go into that, but I had this incredible turnaround and this really profound experience when I came across flower essences. And for your listeners who don't know, flower essences it's energetic medicine. It's hard to explain. It's basically taking the blueprint of the energy of a flower, and solarizing it in water, and then you ingest it, or you can spray it around you, put it on your pulse point. And what it does is it really helps to shift you in a really big way. But I think maybe for most people, it's a gradual thing. It helps to release us from our patterns that aren't healthy. So I started to take the flower essences, and I just had this massive turnaround. And I've been so grateful ever since. The flower essences that saved my life was cherry plum and sweet chestnut.
And that is so crazy you say that. Cherry plum is so powerful.
Yeah. Do you take the flower essences?
Oh, I've been taking them on and off for like 20 plus years. So, off and on. I've actually interviewed people on the podcast who have used them or use them in their practice. I can't say enough about flower essences. It's so hard to explain to others what exactly they do, but I mean, I just say that each plant resonates or vibrates at a certain frequency, and those frequencies match sometimes with the energetics that are going on in our nervous system or in our emotional thought patterns, and help to either help us release or work through trauma or calm us down, what have you. But they are amazing, magical. Yeah. I can't say enough about them.
They're such allies. I think I was a flower in my past life. Really, truly. That's how much I love them. So I started to take them, and I've been taking them ever since, honestly. Like, it's rare that I don't have a bottle, you know. And then one day, it was the new moon in April. I can't remember the year, but something happened where I think an energy came in, and it just completely changed my style of painting. And it was really overnight. everything became very symmetrical, very ordered, I would say ordered. And I just started to paint, and I just had this opening. It was a really big opening. And I thought, how awesome would it be to create a flower essence deck? You know, but what I've found, and I'm sure that you probably have too, is that there's so many people, especially here in the U.S., who just don't know what a flower essence is. They've never heard of them. Even people I've made bottles for, and, you know, I've talked to them about them. They might take it for a little bit, but then they're like, nah, I don't know. And they stop taking it because they're not attributing what they're going through with the flowers. I think it might be a leap for some people. So I was chatting with an herbalist friend of mine named Pam. She owns this wonderful shop called Albizia Apothecary. And, you know, she was selling my art in her shop for a little while. And she's like, Sarah, why don't you just, you know, instead of doing a flower essence deck, you know, why don't you do a tarot deck? It's so obscure, flower essence. And so I kind of was like, well, maybe, you know. And then over a course of maybe a few months, I thought, what if I did a tarot deck, but it was a flower, like a flower essence tarot deck? And there you go, it was born. But I'm still working on it, and right now I'm painting the Four of Wands.
My one that I'm currently crushing on is Two of Pentacles.
The Two of Pentacles. Yeah. Okay. That one was so, so powerful for me. That one I did probably two cards ago. That one was the one I did. And that's really a card that, I started, and then I actually started that card. I got infected with Lyme disease, and then it was about a year of healing that I had done. And then I finished the card.
I was going to say, what I really appreciate and love about this card is, you know, I just moved to Chicago to help my mom. I'm in Batavia now, and to help my mother, but I was in Santa Fe, the desert Southwest, where of course corn came from South America, Central America, but still in the desert Southwest, for those Puebloan cultures, you can still see it scattered in seed beds, the ancient corns that they used to grow, because they still pop up every once in a while. So I really loved this image of the corn, the maize at the center. Then you have the snakes, you know, because snake in when you're walking around the desert Southwest and you're going on hikes, you often will come upon pictographs or petroglyphs carved into the cliff walls. And whenever there's a snake carved into the walls, it means water, that there's a spring there at some time of the year in general. Even though it's not running at that time, they think the snakes represent water. I mean, of course, you know, so I thought that was really interesting around the maze. And then you've got this kind of very cool in the shape of a fan green plant that reminds me of a cactus a little bit. So I was just projecting onto this. And then you have some very Mayan sort of Mayan indigenous people. So it's gorgeous, gorgeous work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. So you're not talking about the Two of Pentacles. It's the Two of Cups you're talking about.
Oh, on your website, it has Two of Pentacles.
Sometimes I edit it, and I must have gotten that one wrong. Thank you. I will have to change that.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's the card of love. I love that card. It's one of my favorites.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Well, I'm so curious, just talking with you, did you grow up, you know, in a religious household, or what did that look like for you? I mean, because your worldview for me, as I interpret it based on, you know, is very expansive and seems very inclusive. So was it like that, you know, when you were growing up, religious wise?
Not necessarily. I mean, growing up, from the time I was up until five, I was raised Catholic. And then my mom got married to my stepdad, and she converted to congregational church. But, you know, I wouldn't say we were uber religious. You know, we prayed at dinner, but that was really the extent of it. And then we would go to church on Sunday. But I could go to the church where the Catholic church, if I wanted to, or I could choose to go to the church that my mom went to. And really what I did was I would walk to the Catholic church and I would get the pamphlet of the Sunday mass. And then I would walk back home. It was my proof. And I actually really never did stay for the service. But because that wasn't my church, you know, I mean, I consider myself to be very spiritual, but I don't think religious is a term that I would describe myself as. But I did study Buddhism for about 15 years, really pretty religiously, I guess. And I also I've gotten a degree in anthropology. And so, you know, of course, that aspect, I think, is like really big in my work, too. You know, from the time I could remember, I have wanted to live in a tribal shamanic village. It's been, and I still do, like, it's still a deep desire that I have. And I don't know I don't know how that started. So I have this fascination with Mayan and Aztec art, the pyramids, the artwork is just like incredible, you know, and I've had this really powerful connection to Quetzalcoatl, which is the feathered serpent god. He came to me in a dream, and I can't say that I've had a more beautiful dream than that dream. It was fascinating. So in the dream, I was up on the top of a cliff looking down into some blue water, and I had friends of mine that had jumped into the water, and the thought came to me, oh, they shouldn't do that because there's alligators in the water. And then I thought to myself, no, it's fine. And I jump into the water, and there's alligators, two alligators in the water. And I swam around, and all of a sudden the body of blue water turned into a muddy ochre canal, which is kind of in a swamp area. And there in front of me was the most beautiful, I don't even know how to describe it other than it was kind of alligator-like, kind of dragon, kind of, it was Quetzalcoatl. And at first I didn't realize it, you know, and he was all ochre. And he slowly turned around and looked at me, and it was as if he was looking into my soul. I've never experienced such a beauty and connection in a dream like that. And so I came out of it, and I spoke about the dream to my therapist at the time, who's a Jungian analyst, and she's really into dream stuff. And the dream was really about me listening to my intuition, right? Knowing that I do know, you know, and the validation from this godhead. And also I feel protected by him. I think he's in, do you know, like, the myth and the stories behind Quetzalcoatl?
I mean, I don't, but I have something else to say, but you go ahead.
Well, no. I'd love to hear what you say. I haven't studied it in depth, but I believe that he was, so the feathered serpent is also a snake. It's also a dragon, and he has shape-shifted. And then he, in Aztec and Aztec and Mayan mythology, like, even gender is something that can change, you know, as far as, because I think he turned into the star of Venus. I could be wrong, but I love it. And so that was a big part of that painting. So what were you going to say?
That is remarkable. What I was going to say is dragons are real. Just because I interviewed a gentleman, I forget what number episode it was, Ethan Hope. And, you know, he spent 3 months, I think, with the Shipibo people in Peru. And basically spent so long with them that they taught him some of their healing songs. So he does physical therapy in Santa Fe. And if you want, while he's healing you or working on you, he will sing some of those songs over you. Oh. And he was working on me the first time I saw him. And I talk about it in the podcast. You know, all of a sudden this little gray green creature came in and was looking at everything and checking everything out. And I was like, what is that? And at the end, he said, did anything happen? And I said, yeah, this gray green thing came and was looking. And I was like, it was a reptile. It wasn't a monitor lizard. It wasn't a Komodo dragon. And he goes, oh, was it a dragon? And I said, yes. Oh my God. That's what it was, a dragon. And he said, oh, that song I was singing you was about a dragon, but it was in another language, you know? So I didn't know it was about a dragon. So right. He said that one of his teachers in Peru told him that he has a dragon inside himself, which, you know, it could be, that could be, but also in that cosmology, you know, Noya Rao is the sacred tree. I know a lot of people use different words to describe that tree, but that there's supposedly, you know, during these shamanic trances, they sing songs to open up to the world of Noya Rao, which is like another planet or dimension just filled with Noya Rao trees, but also filled with dragons. And so dragons exist either on that planet or that dimension that they can get to by singing. So you said Quetzalcoatl, and I was like, oh, that's a flying dragon. I mean, it's feathered, it's a serpent. And I mean, I believe in it. Like, I'm taking you literally. I love that your analyst is like, oh, it's, you know, from their Jungian perspective. I love that you have all these different perspectives, but I took you literally. I'm like, oh yeah, the dragon.
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes those gods, those ancient gods, those essences, those eminence, they, you know, just exist in this dimension or this reality that's just like millimeters away from ours. Away. And so sometimes, you know, that space where our consciousness goes to sleep and we dream, they can come in and talk to us and give us messages. So for me, I'm like, oh yeah, you were visited by a god who had an important thing to tell you, or a reminder. The god's like reminding you of what you're supposed to do in this life, or reminding you that these energies are available to you. This god wants to partner with you, to work with you, to bring something forth into the world with you. Sometimes we need these reminders so that we can wake up in the world and like make beautiful things happen.
Absolutely. And I mean, how boring would it be if these dimensions didn't exist? You know, like, to me, it just seems as real as this, you know, the tree in front of me. Just because it's existing on a different level of frequency doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, I wish for one day that those who want to can have their little Quetzalcoatl come over from the other realm and they can walk them around the block like a dog and be like, here's my dragon, where's yours? But I think we'd have to do a little more work as humanity before those really gorgeous sacred creatures agree to hang out like that with us. Well, I love that dream. Okay. Like you have, I mean, I just love it. It's fascinating. I interviewed Bette Williams, who wrote The Wild Kindness. She grew psilocybin mushrooms in New Mexico forever and ever and ever. And she talks in her book, also on the podcast, about being at this party in her house and after having taken some mushrooms, and there was Quetzalcoatl, totally just came right through the party, like what came through the kitchen, walked through the party. And I thought, oh yeah, Quetzalcoatl is probably here all the time, not hanging out, but making its presence known in these subtle ways. And sometimes we can see her, him, or it, or what have you. I love that dream. What a profound dream. I mean, and totally unexpected, right? You didn't go to sleep that night and you're like, I'm going to have a life-changing dream tonight. I think those things are so exciting.
They're good. They are. They're so exciting. And it, you know, I think it came through at that time because I often need reassurance that I am not alone, that I do have protection, that there are, you know, these entities that they do listen to me and they know of me and they love me as much as I love them.
Well, I've always said that, you know, it's important, I think, for every human or whatever, amoeba, newt, bear, whatever you are, like, I think we all would like to be witnessed, you know, or appreciated or seen in some way, you know, whether you're vital to the food chain or for the local ecology or for your PTA or whatever, yeah. Like that you're like a player and noticed in this world, however that's being noticed. But I would love to hear, any stories of magic or miracles you might have, anything you'd like to share. And believe me, like, I just want to say, tell you this, because I think you'll find it funny, but I used to see this fluorescence practitioner like decades ago in Portland. And we would do it is I would lay on the table. She would put a flower essence into my left hand and I would tell her what it evoked or how it would feel or whatever. And one day she put one in my hand and it zapped me so hard. It like made my entire nervous system fritz out, freak. And it was cherry plum. And I was like, damn, that one, I gotta like, my body doesn't like that right now. So I have a huge, huge respect for flower essences as being super powerful. So I'm grateful you brought those in because I think we need to, you know, we need to talk about these things a little more often. So anyway, but I got on a sidetrack. I would love to hear any stories you have to share.
Yeah, I was thinking about that question. And I was like, God, what, you know, I have so much. I have so many gifts like that in my life, you know, and they really revolve a lot around my daughter and the deck. So I'll just speak of, you brought up the Two of Cups. So the Two of Cups is the card of love. And it's different than the Lovers card, right? It's a minor arcana card, whereas the Lovers is a major arcana card. But to me, these are really powerful life experiences. So I don't differentiate them in that way. So when I'm painting a card, it's almost as if my subconscious is saying, this is what you need to learn right now. And so we're going to bring these energies in and you're going to evolve through the process. And what it is that you need is you can paint into the card. So for instance, this card, you know, in order for, hard to put it into words, but I'll try. In order for me to experience love in the way that I want, love in not in a romantic way, but like pure love. So what do I need? What's blocking me from accessing this experience? And so what I will do is I will be led by the energies of the deck and by the energies of the flowers to those flowers, or those experiences. You know, I had said it was a flower essence deck, but it has really expanded into herbalism and plant medicine. So for instance, in this one, I had put Lady's Mantle, for being able to hold the emotion, right? To being able to hold, that's a water element. Because I can have very big experiences of emotions, and sometimes they overpower me. I feel it's kind of this pattern in my life, and so Lady's Mantle is going to help me to expand so that I can hold those emotions without being overwhelmed by them. Because I think a lot of times I am fearful of the very powerful feelings like love, right? And I think that even though we all say we really want love, but like, are we able to handle that experience? And so then I put holly is the one flower at the bottom where the corn is coming out of it, It's hard to tell that. Holly is a flower that is the flower of love. And it's in many of my cards, in my logo, because it's one of my favorites. It's one that I need the most. And it is the heart opener. It helps you to see the world not as an enemy, not as something to be defensive about, but to be your friend, to actually feel safe in the world, to know that you can be yourself, that you can, there doesn't need to be jealousy or hatred, because you are that person. You are whatever it is that's out there. So that's in there. And then I put tulip. And some of these, so some of the flowers I'm very familiar with. And some of them I'm doing research on as I am doing the card. So I need to review the tulip one. But what's the most important is during the period of painting that card, I had a friend come to me at the market and say, "Hey, we're doing this Bufo Alvaria ceremony. Would you like to join?" Somebody paid for it, but they can't come. And I'm not sure if you are familiar with that, but it's toad medicine from the Sonora Desert. It's a Sonoran toad. And it's also called, doesn't matter. So I said, "Well, for sure I will." I kind of knew a little bit about it. I said, "For sure I'll be there. I'll hold space for you guys. But I don't think I'm going to participate, you know, because if you watch the videos of the people who are experiencing the Bufo ceremony, DMT, sorry. Yeah, that's what it is, DMT. They are sometimes passing out, sometimes freaking out, sometimes screaming. They lose themselves, and a lot of times they lose consciousness. And so I was watching all these videos, and I was like, hell no, I'm not doing this. I was terrified, and but I was still going to go. But the closer that it got to the ceremony, I started to feel like this is warrior medicine. This is like really powerful. And I started to receive these messages. You know, I really look for them. I think that's why I feel like they come. But I started to realize that actually this was a gift and that I needed to participate. And I finally, the night before the ceremony, I found the most beautiful video documentary about it. And it was this guy who was doing a documentary, and he was the one participating. And he had found this doctor in Mexico. And this doctor had gone through a lot of drug addiction. And then he found the toad medicine, and it completely changed his life. And so what he does now is he creates cold ceremonies for people, and he helps people in such a beautiful way. And I watched the ceremony, and I said, yes, I have to do it. So the next day we all met up and at this house. And 108 is this number for me. I'm into numerology, and it means to me that like I am being watched over and that I'm in the right place. Like this is the right, you're on the path. You're listening. And I'm driving to the house, and I'm following this car with the 108, and it pulls into a driveway that is 1108. And then I'm seeing these hawks, right, circling. Like all of these are my indicators. And the man that's holding the ceremony, his name was, he had the same name as my brother who passed away. Tessa, we spoke about Tessa's boyfriend, my brother. And I knew it was a gift from my brother. And so I was, even though I was terrified, I was like, oh, I have to do this. We sat in the sacred ceremony with the White Light Collective is what they're called. It's these two shamans. And it was, the medicine was brought from the desert, and it was blessed by the other shamans in that area of that tradition. And so I felt good about it. And I remember very little, but I do remember that my heart was opened more than it has ever been in my entire life. And this is so normal that I get emotional. So especially when I'm talking about the tarot. But I had the most profound experience of love. I hope it's not the only one like that, but it was a gift from the gods. It was a gift from my brother, from the beyond. It was the most beautiful experience. And I realized, oh God, that's what I needed to put in this card, you know? So that was a big barrier that was lifted for me in order to really experience what it means, because these aren't just cards. They are maps of divine energy that we can use in our life to help us navigate. So if you look at the card, and maybe it would be nice to kind of put that one on the website to show people. I think it's really, really wonderful. You can see the chemical makeup of the bufo, because I did add that in there up at the top. And then this beautiful thing happened where two toads came up to the, like, spirit toads. If you look at it and you let it happen, two toads come to you. And you can see through the rays of the sun, the eyes. And then there's another trippier one that looks kind of gonzo-like. So go back and look at it. And I think these are the miracles of the deck. This is validation that I need, help, because it's a labor of love. It's something that it's so timely. And it takes so much of my time, which I love it, but not all the time, you know? And so it was a gift for me, and to say, like, keep doing it, keep going. You're going to be, and I'm gifted like this every time I paint a card. I mean, I could go into every card I painted and tell you what the gift was from the beyond, you know? So that's the story of one of my miracles.
One of you loved this conversation. You know how I love tarot cards. So there will be a link to Sarah's website, Rattlesnakes and Rainbows, in the episode's show notes. There will also be a link to her Instagram, which is filled with fabulous imagery. I want you to get to know this artist, this creative and dynamic human being, as much as possible. So there'll be a link to her website and to her Insta. So be sure to check both of those out. I need to thank Sarah for telling her story today. And then I need to thank each and every one of you who listens to this podcast. For those of you who listen, if you wouldn't mind writing a review or leaving a little rating wherever you find the podcast, I would be ever so grateful. Those ratings and reviews help other people find us. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Sarah. Form a relationship with Gaia, with the earth, with the natural world around you. And I have said it before on this podcast, this natural world that's all around us, it wants to communicate with you. It wants to be in relationship. And so what is it trying to tell you? So be like Sarah, open yourself to the mystery that is nature, and then just sit back, wait, and listen to what Gaia has to say.